All right. Welcome to the Gabriel Mayers podcast. I just changed the name because I realized that I had just named the stream, Gabriel Mayers, and that didn't make any sense. So I changed it to the Gabriel Mayers podcast, and that's what you're listening to. This is an actual podcast. This isn't a live stream. You can probably tell by my low energy sound. I'm laying on my living room floor. I've got a box of original Wheat Thins in front of me. I've got Pete Holmes' frozen face on my screen. Hold on one second. Hope that still works. Yeah, I've got Pete Holmes' frozen face on my screen. I was watching Your Mom's House podcast, episode 43. Your Mom's House podcast is Tom Segura and Christina Pazitsky's podcast. I thought they were on episode 1000-something. They're only on 483. Anyway, apparently they lost a huge sponsorship deal with McDonald's, who gave them like $2.3 or $2.6 million to just like eat McDonald's on their show and mention that they're a sponsor and stuff like that. And McDonald's canceled their sponsorship a week later and banned them from all California McDonald's because they didn't like a sketch that they did on their podcast. But like it kind of turns out that they didn't actually watch the podcast or have anyone look through it to see if they agreed with the content. They just looked at the stand-up and then endorsed the podcast, which is stupid. And it's weird to think of like a multinational corporation just like not Googling or like not like looking at like the top clip videos or anything like that. It's why would McDonald's want to sponsor Your Mom's House podcast? It's a dirty fucking podcast, and McDonald's is supposed to be a family restaurant. You know, they're not Arby's or something like that where they're trying to associate themselves with tits. So anyway, that's where I am. I'm also on my foam roller. I've got my foam roller right under my right tit. I get a lot of soreness there because I sit wrong and stand wrong. Is that the fucking... is that the charger for my amp that I couldn't find for, like, ever? It's so weird how when you change vantage points, you just see things differently. I started looking for that thing everywhere, and I assumed I lost it. That can't be it. That can't be it, because I specifically remember searching for this shit. This fucking is it. This is it. Fuck. Well, it's... at least I didn't, like, order a backup power thing. Yeah, so I got up pretty early this morning. Didn't go busking. I wasn't planning on going busking, really. I have some things to clear up with the bank. I don't know if I'll have the energy to actually do that today, but I think... no, I'm not going to say today is the best day to do it. I think Saturday would be the best day to do it, honestly. I think today, the best thing for me would be... is this a podcast still or just me rambling to myself? I think it's both. I think the best thing for me today is to start learning some new songs and start putting together some tracks. Which I'm not smoking weed, and that's usually how I work. I usually work while smoking weed, and it's hard to think of not doing that. I don't know. I'm gonna get some tea or something. Maybe I'll just make some coffee. I think that'll be it. I'll just be on caffeine or whatever. But this morning I woke up early. I went out for like a super light jog. Imagine like a 70-year-old or 60 to 80-year-old getting back into jogging. That's probably what I looked like. I'd jog for about 10 seconds and then stop and go back to walking for about 2 or 3 minutes and then jog for 10 seconds and sort of get my jogging like that. And I didn't go very far from my house, and I think that's the way I'm gonna do it from now on, because usually when I go like, oh, I should exercise, I should jog, it just seems like this whole big fucking thing. And like, who wants to go out, like, if you haven't been exercising for a while, who wants to go out and just absolutely fucking pulverize yourself? Like, if you don't exercise often, like come back and you're just like, oh, drenched with sweat and you're dead and you want to pass out and stuff like that. I hate that. Fuck that. So yeah, I went for a super light jog, getting those endorphins in, and I came back. I'm actually kind of sleepy now. Might go for a nap soon, which makes this like a weird time for me to start a podcast. I could always put a break in it and just record a new segment and have this be the segment where the pre-nap segment where I had nothing to say. Okay, this is what else is going on. I bought some mouse poison that from Amazon that didn't work because I have a really bad mouse problem. I've had a mouse problem for like a couple years now. You know, the occasional mouse. It wasn't even that bad, really. It wasn't noticeably bad. Now it's like I'm getting jump scared every other day. You know, I'll be like laying around on the floor like this, sort of stretching out. And or watching TV, you know, getting really quiet, watching TV. And it's like, I guess mice don't associate TV with people being there or whatever. So I'll just see them, like, exploring when I stay still enough, when I stop walking around. I guess when they stop feeling footsteps, they're like, oh, the humans are gone. And they start exploring. I've been seeing them everywhere. I've been seeing them dart under the stove. They're coming somewhere from under the sink. But I don't know how to stop it. Actually, I do. If I could build a little wall right there, I could probably find something to completely stop it up. I could probably use duct tape. But here's the thing with mice. If you use anything that they could chew through, then they'll totally chew through that. So I'm trying to think of, like I need a solid-ass piece of wood or something to stick under there. But for now, what I did was take this poison that wasn't working that I got from Amazon. And it came in these little pellets and stuff, and the mice have been pretty much avoiding it. And apparently most mice do. Most mice, I don't know, I guess they're just used, it's like an evolutionary thing. They learn what different poisons are and what not to eat. So actually pulverize the pellets in the packets with a hammer. It's hitting them real hard. And then I mixed that with some organic peanut butter and put that mixture inside like maybe six different pieces of wax paper. So there's these now these like organic peanut butter and poison packets wrapped with wax paper to help keep them fresher for longer. And hopefully that'll stop them just searching around my house for food, because I'm a single person. I don't really cook a lot. And after I eat, I don't make it like a huge mess when I eat or whatever. Like, they're, you know, I might walk around eating a sandwich once in a while and drop a crumb, but it's really not enough to sustain a mouse off of, you know. But I don't even know if that's how it works with mice. I don't know. Like, it's crazy how, I mean, they're just attracted to the smell, I think. So it doesn't matter if you have food; they're gonna still come looking. And if they're in an apartment building, then they're probably going around to different apartments and stuff like that, getting what they can, where they can. And so I put these packets all around, mostly under this stove and in the sink area. And it's pretty sad, but hopefully they'll die, because I've just had to kill a lot of mouse by hand in like the past few months. And sometimes it's like really gross. I don't know if you've ever stepped on a roach, but it's like that. It's like really gross. And I'm getting better at killing them and not have it being a horrible ordeal, but I just don't want to do that anymore. It just feels awful. I think about their little lives, you know. I think about their little lives and their little intelligence and their consciousness in that tiny body, like crawling around through my stove or in my walls or wherever they are. But yeah, they gotta die. They're not supposed to live here. I just wonder how vegans deal with this. Like, how does a vegan deal with a major mouse infestation? Because you can't, if you have a big mouse infestation, there could be like, I don't know, like, I don't know how many mice, but there could be like a lot of mice living in your walls or in your attic or wherever the fuck. And if you're like, you know, an animal rights person, do you just like not kill them, or do you just spray mint everywhere and hope for the best? I don't even know if that works. I was doing that for a while. I had like a big jar of peppermint extract, or it was like peppermint Dr. Bronner's soap, and I was spraying that places. I might go back to trying that again, because that might just make it smell nice in here, which is good. But yeah, I'm hoping they just eat the poison. And what I heard they do is eat the poison, and they get really thirsty, makes them very, very thirsty, and they go searching for water, hopefully outside your house. So you got to make sure that there's no water laying around in your house, because they'll just go drink it and be fine. Fuck. I am feeling sleepy now that I'm talking, and therefore my brain isn't being as elastic and funny, and this kind of seems like a chore right now, and I don't think I can sort of get my energy up immediately, and I didn't start this with something to talk about. I'm glad I went on a run this morning. I think that's what I have to say. Okay, I think I'll end this segment and then start a new one after I take a nap, or at least like lay down for a while. All right, later, but for you it'll be like 1 second later, but for me it'll be hours later. Okay, part de deux, which is not French for part two. Sorry about the noise. I'm heating up some breakfast pizza. Part one was recorded yesterday sometime in the morning when I was very sleepy. I'm pretty sure I'm going to leave it in just so you can hear the difference in my tonality. I wanted to make this stream while I'm preparing my first meal, specifically to talk about like how fucking lazy motherfuckers are, just mentally lazy. And, you know, part of me is like, you know, I don't want anyone to get offended. I don't want anyone to get hurt. But I do know there's like the way I was raised, the harsh reality of what I wanted to do, making music for a living, was made clear to me. Like, this is not a job choice. Music is not a job choice. If you want to make money, if you want a job, go work at fucking McDonald's, go work for Charles Schwab, go work for a company, because this is like a passion. This is like, you have to be like you're a wolf, basically. If you're deciding that you want to make it in the entertainment industry, and in like literally, I feel like music is the lowest rung of the entertainment industry, like the lowest of the performing arts, like the lowest paying of the performing arts. Like rock music, popular music does not pay. You want to get into classical, you want to get into opera, you want to get into something where there's like where people give a fuck about it, or you want to be like a dancer, if anything, so, you know, a Broadway singer or something like that. But this industry, trying to be like a rock musician, like a contemporary musician, or a pop musician, or whatever the fuck, it's hard as fuck. And so someone that I know, whose name I will not mention, who is not me, as the internet speak goes, was asking me like, hey man, do you know about any music jobs that are paying? I could really use the money right now. And I'm like, and literally my last two posts on Instagram are pictures of me out there busking with like my little credit card machine and my sign with my Venmo on it early in the morning, and you know, with a bunch of likes on it. And hold on, I gotta turn off the fucking thing. All right. And you're asking me if there's music jobs laying around that I'm not saying, like posting on my Instagram like, hey, there's a music job laying around that I'm not taking, and there's just like money in it. Like what would that job be? What would that music job be that would be laying around? You're gonna fail. You're gonna fail because you're not a self-starter. And music is not Music is not that thing. Music is not the thing for people who want to be told what to do. If you can't do shit on your own, you're gonna fail at this. Everyone that I've played music with in the past, in a band scenario, is now no longer doing that shit, or still doing it at, like, a tiny fucking level. Not that there's anything wrong with doing it at a tiny level, I just mean, they're not making any money doing it. They're certainly not making a living doing it. They have a regular fucking job, they just do that shit on the weekends. Get out busking. Don't ask me, a busker, if there are music jobs out there, because you could use the money. Nigga, I could use the money. I have a motherfucking mortgage that I just got a fucking modification for, that I'm fucking trying to get that payment in on time. There's no money laying around anywhere. I literally just had a panic attack because I'm like, fuck, I gotta go to the bank and see if I can get money out this account and shit like that so I can pay that mortgage. And I also gotta get back out there Monday fucking morning and play. I can't believe the fucking mental laziness of people. I know this person not well, but they know me well enough that they know what I do for a living. And the idea that it's that easy, that you can just like call up a friend and they'll just give you a good paying job in the music industry right when you need the money, it's just high. And then I asked this guy, I said, okay, by the way, I really don't care about, you know, I'm keeping your name anonymous, but I think it just, the story needs to get out there so people can understand, like, there's some artists, some visual artists, some sketch artists, there's a couple people like Verena, who she's like an Instagrammer who likes to Instagram her thoughts. It's all the same concept. You have to be a self-starter. You have to put out 120% of your energy and expect 0% back for like a few months, if not years. And that has to be your love and your passion. And none of it's gonna be handed to you. Okay, let me stay on track. I asked, you know, what about busking? And he's like, oh, I haven't been able to get out there with school. And I'm like, you haven't been able to get out. You carry your guitar everywhere. You take the subway for sure places, and you haven't had the time to make it to the subway. Bro, you're on mute. If you didn't know, you're on mute. And it's not because I hate you. It's because literally, I dropped out of school at 17, walked around the streets with a guitar on my back for years saying, I'm gonna be famous. And had people being like, you're fucking crazy. 4 years before anything even happened slightly. And I have basically like opened this door in reality where I've shown something is possible. Hey, you can make from anywhere from $20 to over $100 an hour playing in the subway. This is where you should play. This is what you should play. This is the kind of sign you should have. This is a credit card machine that you should get. You should get your Venmo up there. You should have your social media completely tricked out. Laid out a complete plan for how to make money right under the government's nose. It's fucking all donation, technically. It's all fucking a donation to the arts. So it's not technically you're providing a service and getting paid for it. So for you to come and act like, oh, okay, I don't have time to do that, though. I don't have time to do that, but do you have a job? How are you going to do the job if you don't have time to do literally the lowest bar thing that you can do, motherfucker? Motherfucker, I don't want you to make it in music. Unless you have... I had to struggle my whole life to get where I am now, which is nowhere. Do you get what I mean? I do this all the time, and I'm sure you guys have, you know, you're tired of hearing about my creds, but Nothing happened. Nothing musically happened for me until 2012, when Brett Payne Murphy put some videos on me on his YouTube channel, which is Buskers, spelled B-U-S-K-R-S. Those videos went semi-viral, and I don't even mean really viral. I mean, like, got like 100,000 hits within like a year or two. And so in 2014, casting agents found those videos, decided to put me in the VH1 reality show. And at the time, I was still as dumb as this person who's messaging me. So I thought, this is it. I made it. This is it, baby. Because I'm stupid and I don't understand how things work. After I was on that show, nothing happened again for 4 years. Nothing happened. I was in the subway as often as I could be. I was just in the street. People were like, man, you're so good. You should be... You should be famous. You know how frustrating it is to have, like, you know, multiple people per day tell you, what are you doing in the subway? You should be famous for fucking 4 years. And so after 4 years, Josh Fox finds me playing in the subway because I didn't believe that anything else was ever going to happen. And literally during that 4 years, I'd never messaged anyone and said, hey, you got any opportunities for me that you just aren't taking for yourself? Because Charlemagne the God has this book called Black Privilege. And this is what I think is one of our black privileges. There's no illusions in my mind that anything is going to come to me for free or easily. And anything that does come free and easily is still going to have some kind of added price later, or is going to like trick my brain into thinking that something else is going to come easily. Lightning does not strike twice. And if it does, it does not strike a third time. And if it doesn't, does not strike a fourth time. Do you motherfucking feel me? If you have a dream, if you're like, and the motherfucker has the nerve to say to me, oh, I don't want to do anything outside music. I don't have the time busking. Do you have a job for me, but I don't want to do anything outside music? You're going to fail. You deserve to fail. 10 years down the road, when I'm looking at you being a gas station employee and you're like, I used to play guitar or whatever, I'm going to laugh because I would have spent the last 10 years actually working and not thinking about you. And you would have spent the last 10 years making excuses why you can't do the work that I am doing every day. You're in school, not a million hours a day. You carry a guitar with you on your way to school. You stop in the train station for a half an hour on the way to school, a half an hour on the way back. And if you're as good as you think you are, you can make between $30 and $100 an hour depending on time and location. So what the fuck are you messaging me about? What the fuck are you messaging me about? Nothing. Wasting my vital fucking time. Ask me for a dollar. Ask me for $5. Ask me if I could send you $10 before you waste my motherfucking time with, hey, do you have any music jobs laying around? I could really use the money. I'll send you $10, bro. Because you're basically a pre-homeless person with that type of mentality. You have no reason to have a guitar on you. It's wasted. I wish I had your skills. I have literally 1% of this guy's guitar skills. 1% of this guy's probably writing ability. This guy probably knows way more about music theory than me, been playing guitar younger than me, so much better than me, but sucks, bro. Weren't born black in the ghetto. Sucks that you weren't born black in the ghetto with a fucking work ethic of any type. And the thing is, I don't really have a good work ethic. I spent all day yesterday laying in bed looking at porn. Okay. That's how we do it. That's how we do it sometimes, kids. You gotta take a repose every once in a while. But when I get back to it, I'm up at 4 in the fucking motherfuck morning, traveling 9 miles via train to the Upper East Side, where I do not live, to play for people. I had to get this, it took time. I had to get the sign, I had to get the amp, I had to get the mic, I had to get all that stuff together. It took time. I do it. I never make fucking excuses. It's only me to blame. Man, if you're out there and you have a dream, understand that it is like oxygen in space. You know, it is being sucked away as we speak. Your dream is being sucked away as we speak. So if you're not starting a podcast, doing vlogs, writing articles for Medium, making posts on Instagram, fucking tucking everybody's ear back, if you're not constantly putting out energy toward the thing you want, money in music, fans, whatever the thing is, then you don't deserve it. And you can, and at least you can, like, kind of be settled in that, you know? You don't have to, like, kind of wonder, like, man, I'm trying so hard, why am I not making it? You're not making it because you're not really trying. A phrase I learned from the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss is, some people have all this firepower and no trigger finger. And I have no firepower. I never got music lessons. I got one or two singing lessons. And I fucking hit the motherfucking road. I sang badly for a while. You know, my voice has cracked a million times. Like, you know, fuck you. Fuck you for thinking it's that easy. And also, thank you. Thank you at the same time, because you remind me of, like, where my success has come from. Literally never came from anyone doing me any favors. I don't... Josh, shout out to Josh Fox. Josh didn't find me and get to know me, and we had beers together, and he was like, you know what? You're a great guy. I'm going to do you a favor. Josh filmed a bunch of people, had a bunch of other musicians that he wanted to put in his film. I was the best one, probably because I had been playing for hundreds of people a day for the past 4 years before I met him. And then versus other musicians who are like in their head, they're good, or they're in their bedroom, they're good. And they played for maybe you played for like two or, you know, how many shows does a musician play a year? Maybe play two shows a month. If you're not anybody, I mean, if you're really active in the music scene, you're playing way more shows than that. But let's say you're amateur, you're like in your early 20s or something like that, and you have no representation or anything. You're playing one, two, maybe three shows a month for a crowd of maybe 30 or 40, right? No, nothing big. But if you're playing in the subway, you're playing for thousands of people all the time. All the time. And you just get used to it. And so your vibe as a musician becomes more seasoned. And motherfuckers really think that the shit goes like, oh, hey, I know this guy. Let me send him a message and let me see if I could get something. The same guy I offered him, like, I didn't want to play with him at first. And I said, hey, you can come busking with me. He knows I make a bunch of money busking. He knows I make my entire living busking. Hey, you can come busk with me. Haven't heard from him for weeks on that. Hear from him finally again. Hey, you have any music jobs laying around? No. Thank you for reminding me why people fail. And, you know, best of luck to you. I think like I had to go through it too, you know, just recounting my history. You just think it's going to come easy and you don't recognize the value of hard work and the joy of it in terms of like how it factors into your success. So I think when I was his age, which is like 20, 21, I was, first of all, when I was 20, 21, I'd only been playing guitar for like 3 or 4 years. So really wasn't very good at it. Also songwriting, I really wasn't very good at it, but I knew that I wanted to be famous. And so I had friends and I started putting instruments in everyone's hands, basically. I remember my friend Adam had a guitar that his dad bought him, a Takamine acoustic guitar. I tuned that up for him and I think I might have given him new strings or something like that. Maybe not even, maybe old strings. Let me not burn this pizza. I totally have crisped it. All right, hold on. It's pizza number one. Pizza number one. Okay, one pizza done. All right, I'm gonna stop this segment for 1 second and I'm gonna start over, all right? Okay, so I'm back. This will be our third and final segment. So the first segment, I call that one Sleepy Start.
The second one that you guys just heard, I'll call that Nothing Comes Easy. By the way, if you haven't, rated, if you haven't subscribed, make sure you subscribe. Make sure you add this to your list of podcasts. And make sure you rate and leave a review for the stream, because it really does help in terms of other people finding it. And thank you so much. And also, like, the iTunes rankings and whatnot. Yeah, so enough about that guy. Enough about that guy. We get the point that that's not the type of mentality that you want to have. And I won't beat a dead horse there. And believe me, that horse is fucking dead, because I don't know what else I can do. It's just like some people's minds are different. I love to make it a race thing. I think it's really that, like, if you're like a white dude, there's just too much safety net under you, you know? And as like, the son of a single parent household, am I saying that right? My mom was raising me by herself, basically. So when I decided to do music, it was like, you better be successful at this. Otherwise, you're going to be a huge disappointment. And your mom will not love you. And I really think that incentivized me doing all the work that I could. I remember when I was 25 and the band situation that I had didn't work out, as I was feeling that the other people in the band weren't exactly as serious about music as I was. Like, it was more of like a fetish for them. The other people in my band were white, by the way. Well, not all of them, actually. Drew, shout out to Drew, because Drew was black, but I don't think it was his thing either. You know, when you're in your early 20s, like, you could, like, change careers a lot, and I think it's rare to know exactly what you want to do for sure when you're very young, because you could do so much. There's so many options. You could move to France one day, right, and just have a completely different life. You could work at the top pastry shop in France and just be happy doing that, and you could have never thought about pastries before, but when you work with Marcel, he's folding the raspberry jam into the fresh dough, you feel like God has landed on earth, or whatever bullshit, you know. And I remember being 25 and just sort of like being on my mom's couch and my mom just sort of busting my balls. Get a job at Duane Reade. You could be the manager for Rite Aid. Go back to school. Music isn't like a career. Da 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 da. Breaking my balls. Look at my grown son. Look at my grown son breaking my balls, man. So that, like, I'd be like crying. I'd be like crying because I was like, yo, I'm a fucking loser. I'm a fucking loser, man. I'm disappointing my mom. I'm a fucking loser. I had this dream to do this thing since I was 17, and I'm 25 now, and I haven't made shit happen. I just had a band that failed, and what the fuck am I gonna do? I didn't, you know, I've never been a popular person. I've never been someone who knows people. I've never even been someone who reaches out to people who could provide them an opportunity, you know? I've never been that type of person. And so I remember I started looking at Behind the Musics. I started looking at Courtney Love's Behind the Music. Both of them. There's Behind the Music Courtney Love, and there's The Return of Courtney Love, that when she makes her second comeback, her first comeback anyway. This was before she was on Empire and shit like that. And this was before I joined Buddhism, actually. Courtney Love was one of the reasons that I joined. So just speaking of that, like, I had to get myself up off my mom's couch myself. My mom didn't say, hey, okay, I'm going to go to open mics with you, or hey, I'm going to go to the subway with you, or hey, are you going to the subway today? You should really go busking. You know, there was no one. You know what I did? I Googled musicians who have bussed before, and I found this huge list of musicians who started off their careers by busking. I saw a rare video of Paul McCartney after he was way famous, like Paul McCartney in his late 30s, early 40s, busking in a subway in England, because the shit's fucking addictive. It's like stock car racing. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. It's an art form. Is stock car racing an art form to me? That's interesting. My subconscious is very interesting. Anyway, I had to like inspire myself basically, because there wasn't anyone around to be like, hey, this is what you need to do. And just to put out there, I'm not like a complete cruel asshole. I have this feeling inside that other people don't deserve success. And when they really do, I really look up to them. I really look up to them. Because I realize that the chasm between the successful and the unsuccessful is so large. Of course, there's lots of gray area in between. I think success and failure all also has to do about your mindset and not necessarily how many people know you and how much money you have. Because I would consider myself a success because I dropped out of 17 to do this music thing. And really, it was like to be able to do it at all was the goal, because it just seemed so unlikely to even make the barest living off of music. And so I consider myself a success because I was able to turn this thing, busking, which people still think like, oh, poor you, into a really decent income source. And I think I'm going to do the same thing through podcasting, through streaming on Instagram, through just releasing content online. To me, it's the same concept of just you put everything you have in you out there. And there's a medium in your fucking pocket. So there's no excuse. Like, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is because it's like, okay, I'm not busking this morning. There's still no excuse to not create something. There's still no excuse to not add value and put it out there into the world. That's all it is, cousin. And I just need you to know, there's some people who have it so good. There's some people who have it so easy. There's some people who have access to me and don't deserve it. And I'm not thinking I'm this big guy and, oh, you deserve access to me. But if you have me telling you, oh, you can make $20 to $80 per hour in the subway, literally, I have a friend who works for HBO as an editor. And I was like, they're like, oh, so what are you up to? And like, oh, this year I'm trying to focus more on busking because last year I got to about $50, $80 an hour. And I want to like focus on that, save up as much money as I can and kind of get my head into the right place so I'm able to do that all the time. And they're like, wow, that's really great. This is the most money that's what I make per hour. And this is the most money I've ever made. And she works at HBO. You know what I'm saying? So it's like dumb that he's like, oh, I don't have time for busking. Can you give me a music job? Enough about him. Be a self-starter. There are people who are illustrators, and it's like the same thing almost. Like, how do I get big as an illustrator? You got to draw a lot of fucking pictures. You got to draw a lot of fucking pictures. That's it. And it's so easy, right? Imagine if you drew one picture a day and you posted it to Instagram. How kicking would your Instagram be after 4 years? Are you willing to work for 4 years straight with no tip of the hat, no opportunity falling out of the sky, just doing the dirt, just doing the work? Are you willing to do that for your craft, or is it just you just like to make money doing this? You just like to. I'd prefer to make money doing this. It's like how you don't. White dudes, you don't understand how obnoxious your privilege is, and you don't see it. And literally read James Baldwin. Literally read a fucking book about it. Because I know white dudes like motherfucking Chris D'Elia. Shout out to Chris D'Elia. I'm a true baby. # congratulations podcast. Who work exhaustively. Daddy works hard. And I love watching daddy work so hard because it inspires me to fucking work hard. You're leaving money on the motherfucking table. That sucks that I'm like, wow, I'm amazed that I've had success doing this. And I think other people don't know that you can have success doing this. So I'm going to impart that information. And motherfuckers are like, oh, I don't have time for that. Give me something easier. Here's what's easier. Die. Here's what's easier. Have Evolution cancel your show, okay? There's a gene in you. There's a gene in you that makes you good at playing music. Let's recede that gene. For the next generation, let's make that gene recessive. Okay? I'm burning my fucking pizza. Let's make that gene recessive next generation. Just so that we don't have another motherfucker not working at McDonald's asking black dudes from Born in 1980s war zone Brooklyn. Hey, got any extra opportunities laying around? I'm a white guy. Got any opportunities for me? Must be some kind of opportunity for me. I am a white guy after all. I'm a white guy. Gotta be some opportunity somewhere. Whiteness. It sucks. It sucks. But it doesn't suck that much because, you know, let him fail at music. He'll end up the manager of a bank anyway, right? Right? It doesn't fucking matter. But I have to succeed. Because I still have my mom's, even though my mom's dead, I still have her voice in my head. Before she died, she wasn't that impressed with what I did. I was in a TV show. Hey, mom, I'm in a movie. Good for you. She wasn't that impressed. She was a little impressed. She wasn't that impressed. Gotta meet the president. Not this president, but a better one. I'd meet Donald Trump just to be like, yeah, I met the president. Nah, it doesn't count. It really doesn't count if it's Trump. Because he met with Kanye and shit like that, and he met with, like, Ted Nugent and stuff. It's like, yeah. So hopefully we'll have a new president in 2020, and I'll meet that president. Yeah, man, if your dream, white or black, no matter what color you are, if you have a dream, work for it. Get that black man consciousness in your head. No one's going to give you anything. Things aren't going to come easy for you. And even more so, people are going to kick you down further. So how much harder do you have to work to make your dreams happen? That needs to be your mindset, no matter what color you are. No one's going to give anything for you. And people are going to go out of their way to shit on you. How much harder are you going to work? Maybe you don't love it that much. Maybe you're just good at drawing. Maybe you're just good at guitar. Maybe you're just good at singing. Maybe you're just good at doing comedy. Maybe you can just be good at it. Maybe you can just do your normal job, which, by the way, I really wish I could be this type of person. Do your normal job, go work at the normal job, and then after your job, do your hobby. Do your drawing, do your stand-up, do your music playing. Don't try to make a living off of it, because I don't want you up here with me. I don't want you up here with me as one of the people who make a living doing what they love, because you don't deserve it. You have to change your fucking mindset into one where it's like, I'm not gonna fucking go around expecting help from anyone. I'm going to have something real and valuable to offer. And it sucks because this guy has great guitar skills to offer, but in New York City, how many people play guitar great? You know, a lot, a fucking lot. I can go out to an open mic tonight, tomorrow, and find a bunch of young motherfuckers who play guitar like Jimi Hendrix and who actually want to go someplace. But I know that the amount of people who are self-starters is rare. And personally, I don't need anybody. People have told me for years, people have told me, you know what you need, man? A band. You need a band. Why? Because you need one. And you know where I've seen people with bands go? Nowhere. Fucking nowhere. And they deserve it, because how dare you think it's so easy as I'll just get a band, and people will just come to my shows because they want to see my band. Unless that band is full of self-starting individuals, unless the guitarist is putting out his own shit and interested in his own shit and his own work, and the drummer's putting out his own shit and interested in his own work, and then the bassist is putting out his own shit and is interested in his own work, and the vocalist, lead singer, whatever, rhythm guitarist is interested in his own shit, putting out his own work, then it's going to be a shitty band. It's going to be a shitty band where there's like one person who really gives a fuck about it. There's one person who wakes up at 4 a.m. because they're thinking about, I have to get this thing done. And the other people are like, yeah, I'm cool because I'm in a band. Fuck that. You deserve to fail. You deserve to be canceled by existence. I don't want you on stage. You know, I watch it all the time. All these people that sort of get big quick and then just get nowhere. They go nowhere because it's like, lightning strikes everybody. Lightning struck me a couple of times. You can't look at that. It's the hard everyday work, the day-to-day work. I've made 37 cents so far, thanks to my listeners on this podcast. I think you can cash out at $10. I made 37 cents so far, and that's 37 cents that I didn't have before. And if I tell people that, motherfuckers will still not start a podcast. If I tell people, hey, now I'm at $100, motherfuckers will still not start a podcast because they're not me. They're not self-starters. They don't have the same drive. I was talking about a friend, or not talking about a friend. What was I doing? I was talking to a fellow performer's mother, and they were like, yeah, and the mother's posts are all supportive and stuff like that. And I'm like, fuck, you're not going to make it. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm sorry your parents are supportive of what you do. You're not going to make it. Because literally, the thing that has driven me for so long is just wanting the validation. Is just wanting the validation. And some people, I can see, get too much of it. A lot of the people that I have been in groups with, bands with, and stuff like that, very close to their parents. Nothing wrong with being close to your parents, but so close to their parents that their parents baby them and give them all the positive feelings that they need already. And so music or art is just a fetish on top of the privilege that they already have. Most of these are white people that I'm talking about, because I think people of color have a very different perspective about the world. I think first-generation immigrants have a very different perspective about the world. Shout out to Asians killing it in the immigrant game. Indians specifically. I want to see more Indian people in the entertainment industry, because that's hard. That's hard. Imagine being an Indian person and not being in IT. And I'm not being racist there. I'm just saying, like, IT is a very profitable industry, and it's one of the fastest growing industries in America today. So it just makes sense to get into either IT, if you're an immigrant, information technology, or you're going into medicine. Except medicine, it requires a lot of upfront. You got to pay for the medical school and shit like that. Or go through the shitty community colleges for years and years and years and work at a bunch of bad hospitals and stuff like that. But the point that I'm trying to make here, I guess in this third segment, we'll title this, be a fucking self-starter. Be a fucking self-starter. Courtney Love was sleeping in a box on Hollywood Drive. She chanted Nam-myoho Renge-kyo and determined that she would make it. And she did. She made it so far that she in turn inspired me to make it. And I'm in turn inspiring you to shut off this fucking podcast after it's done and after you rate and review it on iTunes, thank you, or Stitcher or wherever the fuck you listen to your shit. I'm inspiring you to get off your ass and go do and start doing the work on the thing you want. If you want to be a songwriter, write your first song today, right now. If you want to be a musician making money off of music, go outside in the motherfucking street. If you're not in New York and near the subway, go wherever there's the most people, if it's legal for you to do that. One of my fans told me in Austria they just outlawed busking. So fuck Eastern Europe. Fuck Eastern fucking Europe. Literally, the busking is outlawed in Turkey, as far as I know. My Uber driver told me once, and now Austria. So if you're somewhere where they allow music playing in a public square, go play today, in the next 2 days. Don't be like, oh, I'm not sure. If you feel like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm do it, then quit. Then say, oh, I guess I don't deserve it. I guess I don't deserve it then. If I'm like, I don't deserve it. Because I'm waffling, because I'm not sure, because I haven't reached that point where I've hit bottom in the Fight Club sense, and I have no other option but this. Imagine a young black man wandering around Brooklyn, hanging out with these white kids with a guitar on his back, and everyone saying, you're too old to make it, this is not a career, why don't you go back to school, friends' parents looking down on me. All this kind of shit. I'm the bad friend and stuff like that because I dropped out of school and I'm going after this dumb thing. And all my friends are going to school and going to college and shit like that and having their careers with health insurance and whatnot. And I'm playing in the subway and dating women who are like, for some reason sleeping on my mom's couch, playing music in the subway, and yet dating women who are 10 years older than me and making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year marketing and flying around the world, being like, well, how do we get you famous? Because you don't want to be in the subway forever. And somehow turning this non-opportunity into an opportunity by fucking mental alchemy and pure will. I'm inspiring you to do the same. I really hope you do that. I really hope, because I think everyone who listens to my podcast and is a fan of mine is a fan of dreams. is a fan of having dreams and fulfilling them. And so if you have a fucking dream, put the energy out there. Stop worrying about what you're gonna get back immediately and do it for the love of it. You could literally have a stroke, no matter what age you are. You could literally have a stroke at any moment. There could be a fat clog in your a blood clot in your brain right now, and you don't even know it. And all it takes is like maybe you laugh at a joke real hard, and that's it for you, son. Kevin Barnett is a comedian, 32, and he died over the past week suddenly. And this guy was loved and known by many, and it was all taken from him. That could happen to you. So before you die, what do you want to do? Do you want to sit around asking people for opportunities, sort of half hoping that something magical will happen to you, or do you want to make it happen? I mean, at least die unknown and broke with a whole bunch of work under your butt. At least die like Picasso, man. Die with a whole bunch of work that gets popular after you die. But don't do this bullshit. Like, I have friends who, like, I was like, yo, Spotify's picking up. Spotify's going to be a thing really soon. You need to get as many things on Spotify as you can so you can start making an income off of that. I make about, from streams on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, I make around $100 a month, which isn't an amazing amount of money, but it's a phone bill. That's a phone bill paid right there from streaming revenue. Why? Because at one point, I put as much music as I could on Spotify. Damn it. Why is Gabe so successful? There must be some special magic he has. And I remember being 23, 24, and being on my mom's couch and just like depressed and like listening to like The Law of Attraction by Esther Hicks, who channels Abraham. I don't believe in channeling anymore, by the way. I think of it as a form of performance or stand-up comedy. And you can really see how it is. There's like bits. There's premises and stuff like that. Punchlines. I'm finally eating my pizza before it gets cold. I remember Esther Hicks talking about how like, basically, you like change your aura, you change your vibration with your thoughts and your feelings. And so, as soon as you start changing how you're thinking, things around you will change and other people will be like, oh, you have some type of special magic. Or like, oh, Gabe, you're like the greatest musician or whatever. I'm not the greatest musician. I'm not the greatest singer. I'm not the greatest guitarist. I'm not the greatest songwriter. I have no special magic. I just don't think fucking bitch-ass thoughts. I mean, not as often as other people. This is the thing, I'm compassionate and empathetic to people thinking bitch-ass thoughts, but it's just like, I've got a limit on that shit. It's like, okay, maybe I'll think bitch-ass thoughts, like at most 75% of the time. I think I'm at a good 60 now, where it's like, you're just thinking a bitch-ass thought, you know what I mean? Like, oh man, I'll never make it. Oh, or you see Taylor Swift win an award, you're like, man, only people like Taylor Swift win awards. I have a limit on thoughts like that because I'm like, that's a bitch-ass thought. A real pimp's thought is like, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. I released a song called Monsters Under My Eyelids. You can listen to it everywhere. It's part of the first demo album that I borrowed an old computer from a friend. I did not have a record label, a CD or anything out. I put together three songs, I produced them in GarageBand, and I put them out. And one of those songs is called Monsters Under My Eyelids, in which I included a clip by Will Smith at the front that goes, I want to represent magic. I want to represent possibility. I want to represent, you know, they say 2 + 2 = 4. It's like, nah, 2 + 2 is going to be what I want it to be. You know what I'm saying? Get out there and really do it. And understand, like, if you really love something and are passionate about something, like, I remember there's certain performances when I see them, I know my purpose. And if you feel that way about something, if you know your purpose, then you have no time for bitch-ass thoughts. No bitch-ass thoughts. In 2019, no bitch-ass thoughts. Please. Let's have that be our motto. Hashtag no bitch-ass thoughts. Okay. Actually, what I want you to do, I want you to make some kind of declaration. Like, if you have a dream and you listen to my podcast, I want you to be like, this year, I'm gonna put out as much art as I can. You're an illustrator. You draw pictures of birds. You know who I'm talking to. You draw pictures of birds. Be like, this year I'm gonna put out the most pictures of birds that I ever have. This year I'm gonna get so good at drawing birds because I'm gonna draw so many fucking birds this year. I'm gonna draw so many fucking birds that people are gonna be like, man, that guy draws a lot of birds, really dope. And guess what's gonna happen? All the motherfuckers that love bird drawings are gonna come to you. I want you to tag me on Instagram. I want you to say, this year, I'm going to do something different. This year, hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. Yeah, come on. Hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. That's the title. That's the episode title. Hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. You know? If you're white and you're white dude and you've just been kind of skating along on your white male privilege and your fucking mom cuddles your head at night and tells you you're a very special boy, then everything you do is special, be like, no mom, you're making me a bitch ass. This is 2019. Hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. Come on. No bitch ass thoughts. 2019. All right, that's all I'll say. It's 11 a.m. here. Thank you for listening to this podcast. This podcast. I'm sorry for all the background noise. I know I've been walking around and stuff like that. I hope everything's crystal clear. If it's not, let me know, because I rarely ever listen back to these things. I just sort of record them, give them a quick skim through, and put them out there. So if there's any if there's any extreme audio aberrations, please be a true fan and let me know about that. Because basically, You're my editors. Just go for it. Hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. Please rate me 5 stars and leave a review. I think it takes a little while for the review to actually show up, so please be patient for that. Write the review, leave it, and then wait a week. Wait about a week and then see if it's up there, and if not, try to write another review. All right. Thank you so much. Make sure you share this also with your friends. Hashtag no bitch ass thoughts. Bye.